Good morning. Is it red? Is it on? Okay, thank you. Glad to be here this morning and thank you for your prayers for me. You've been praying as I come to deliver the word of the Lord. Let's bow again. Yeah. Our blessed God and our Father, we do thank you for your mercy and your love. We ask now that you would just help me and strengthen me and encourage me with speak to be your will. We pray that you would speak to me and us all, that we might be obedient to your word. We might learn what it is that you have us to learn today. And to apply it to our lives. Pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. As you know, we have been looking at the book of Jonah. And we looked at a couple of topics from chapters 1 and 2. They will be in Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. We look, first of all, in chapter 1 at the rebellious prophet. In chapter 1, God made clear what his will and purpose was, and he gave a mandate. And we've made some applications for us to know and to see the will of God and to seek to be obedient to his mandate. In chapter 2, look at the repentant prophet. So Jonah was repentant in chapter 2. And we looked at how God reproves us. And he shows us where we have gone off the path and what he's what have us to do. And then there is the response that we must have, dependence and prayer. And Jonah certainly was an example of that in chapter 2. Chapter 3, we want to look at the obedient prophet. So I'd like to read now from chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand, that is in their hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from the fierce anger that we perish not?" God saw their work, that they turned from the evil way, and God repented of evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. This morning, we wanted to look at and consider three words. We wanted to look at mercy, obedience, and revival. Mercy, obedience, and revival. First one, mercy, is God's part. God's part, mercy. The theme of the book of Jonah is the mercy of God. I would say that nowhere in the whole book is the mercy of God more on display than in this third chapter. So it would do us good to look at the definition of mercy. For our purposes this morning, we're going to use the definition. Mercy is compassionate or kindly forbearance shown toward an offender, an enemy, or other person in one's power. Mercy is compassionate or kindly forbearance shown toward an offender, an enemy, or other person in one's power. So you have the power to punish, you have the power to destroy an enemy. You have power with someone, but you show compassion instead. We quite often sometimes use the words grace and mercy interchangeably. And I'd like for us to just see if we, how we can distinguish between them. Grace is displayed when we freely receive unmerited favor or kindness that we do not deserve. Unmerited favor, kindness that we do not deserve. And we see this every day. I mean, just simply looking out the window, sun rising up every morning. God gives grace freely to us all. God has given us grace whereby we might be saved. And he gives it freely to all, and we do not deserve it. Mercy is displayed when we do not receive the punishment or harm or evil that we do deserve. So mercy is when we do deserve something that is negative, but we don't get it. That's mercy. In verse 1, we see the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Now, you know what happened in the first chapter when the word of the Lord came to him the first time. He was disobedient. As a matter of fact, not only did he not do what God wanted him to do, but he started out in the opposite, the total opposite direction. So God wanted him to go further inland and towards Assyria and preach to these foreign and evil and wicked people, the Ninevites. But Jonah thought, oh, these guys are so terrible that there's no good any preaching will do with them. And I don't like them anyway. I'm going to go the opposite way. So he takes off into the Mediterranean to a place called Tarshish. Now, because of disobedience, we know what happened. that God sent a great storm. And though Jonah thought he was running away from God, and he was really comfortable, he fell asleep. God sent the storm. He saw this reproof that God showed, and Jonah responded. And we have in the chapter 2 his prayer and his repentance. And he responded. And now he's decided to be obedient to the word of the Lord. See, in chapter 3, God is in a sense saying, let's try this again. And he gives Jonah the same task, the same message, and he says to him, go, arise, and go to Nineveh. Our God is a God of second chances. And we say that phrase, and we make it into a cliche. But let's think about that for a minute, just for a minute. Because mercy is the compassion that we do not deserve. When we think about humankind, we think about ourselves. We do not deserve that compassion. And that God would forbear and to give opportunity for you to get it right, get it straight. We think of the fact of how God is forbearing and long suffering, waiting and giving long opportunities for people to repent. In fact, the man that lived longest on the earth lived longest because God had said that when he dies, then it would come, the flood would come. And so God allowed him to live a very, very long time. We see in the book of Peter how scoffers would come in the last days and say, well, where is he? Where is this promised Messiah that you say is coming? Where is he? And I've been hearing this all my life. The word tells us that God is patiently waiting and lengthening the time because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. This is the mercy of God. In showing mercy to the Ninevites, God used a flawed human instrument, who was himself in need of mercy. And the irony is that Jonah, which we shall see in the next chapter, did not want God to show mercy to the people of Nineveh. He thought that he had a con on God's mercy. The fact is that we all need it all the time. And Jeremiah tells us in Lamentation 3:22 that it is only by God's mercy that we're not consumed. It is of the mercies, of the Lord's mercies, that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. So God says to Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh the second time. When we fall down, We need to rise up again. Jonah had fallen, yet he had disobeyed. He was in a state that was not good. But he repented. God told him, get up. Now it's time to go again. Proverbs 24:26 says, and a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And it should be an encouragement to us, knowing God's mercy, knowing of that how He has made that available to us when we fall. The second word that I'd like for us to focus on is the word obedience. This speaks of our part, obedience. This is how we should respond to the mercy of God, it's obedience. In verse 2, he says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. And the last part of that verse says, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. This is the request, this is the command that I am giving to you. The key to usefulness after a fall is simple obedience. Simple obedience. Remember, God is the one doing the work. He has the master plan. His will is going to be done. His will is going to be done because He's God and because He's sovereign. It's up to you whether you want to be a part of it or not. You will be held accountable. If we are wise, we have the privilege to align ourselves with Him through obedience. Obedience is how we align ourselves with that which is God's will, with that which will overcome, with that which will be done. Obedience. So Jonah arose in verse 3 and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed, overthrown. Now we shall see later on how Jonah decided to be obedient. We'll discuss this later next time, but he's doing what God bid him, but his heart still is not right yet. What he preaches, yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. It was not until Jonah returned to obedience that God moved miraculously. And why did he move miraculously? This is a record of the greatest revival that has happened. And yet, the prophet was reluctant. But it happened after he decides to be obedient. And obedience is indispensable to God's word. Obedience is indispensable. God can do anything. He doesn't need us. But He's giving us the privilege to cooperate with Him, to be a part of His work, which He is doing. And that happens only through obedience. we have Samuel speaking to King Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, speaking of the preeminence and the importance of their obedience. And you know the story that God told Saul to destroy the Amalekites, and he said, well, okay, I have a better plan. I won't destroy everything. I won't destroy the king and everything. I'll keep some of these things, and we can make sacrifices for the animals that I keep. And then the prophet Samuel rebukes him and says in verse 22, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than to fight a ram. So we see that if we are going to do God's will, we are going to align ourselves with Him, if we are going to cooperate with Him, if we're going to be used by Him, we have to obey. So obedience is very important. Thirdly, I'd like to just take a look at the revival that followed. This is the result. The revival is the result that followed. So we have the mercy of God in play. That's God's part. And we, being God's instruments, we need to extend the mercy that we receive ourselves when it comes from God. And then we must obey. When we obey God, then there are the results that happen. The great revival in Nineveh. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least, And the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And this was a posture of contrition that was common at this time, to put on sackcloth and ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh, throughout all of Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles. So not only did we have that the people that heard, people in the streets that heard the preaching, we have the high officials and the king hearing the same message and responding. So the king did not say, this is okay, I see this, and but he also decreed that everybody, he used his position as king to instruct everybody to put on sackcloth and ashes, even to put it on the animals, and said that they would not eat, and everyone would fast, because the concern was that the whole country, the whole city, was in peril and in danger of imminent judgment. Now, As we think about, are they we think about our leaders, our politicians, our president, our Congress people. We need to pray. We need, as Jonah needed, first of all, to experience personal revival. We need, first of all, to look in ourselves and our hearts and remember words of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. If the problem persists throughout the whole nation, as it is in our nation, the first step is to humble ourselves and pray. Humble ourselves and pray. This king was able to make a statement to all of the people that they should contrite themselves and to fast, to pray for to be spared. So let's see, back to verse 7. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. That's like saying the president and the Congress, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything, and let them not feed nor drink water. Are we ready for this revival? Are we praying for this revival in our nation? Well, it starts first with personal repentance. The king says, who can tell? God will turn and relent, turn away from his fierce anger, that we do not perish. Jonah preached, and the people believed and repented. This was the work of God. Notice that the belief was followed by action. Verse 8, it says, yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way, from the violence that is in their hands. Repentance begets repentance. Jonah experienced a prelude of what the people of Nineveh would experience. If we want revival in our land, then we must experience personal revival. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins and heal their land. God is speaking to us. We are to be his instruments . Our first step is to humble ourselves. And we don't have to, I don't have to tell you the need of that. It's all around. revival begins, first of all, with us. And God is always calling us, seeking us, reaching out to us, showing us, as he showed Jonah, the errors of his way. We can repent, turn from our wickedness. We have, on Wednesdays, been looking at sins that we just brush aside. Don't think about it anymore. We don't think much about it. It's just easy to do. Everybody does it. The Word of God is true, it's powerful, and it's quick. And it is to be observed. And it's profitable for reproof. We call them respectable sins, subtle sins that we just ignore. But the Word of God is speaking to us, speaks to us. Turn from our wicked ways. Let the revival begin with me. Then, God says, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God relented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. He relented of the evil that he said that he would do, and he did it not. This is mercy. Remember, we said mercy is displayed when we do not receive the punishment or harm that we do deserve. And certainly, even Mr. Historians will tell you of how wicked and how terrible these people, the Assyrians, the Ninevites were. And certainly, they were deserving of punishment from God. But God showed mercy. The mercy of God is displayed because they did not deserve. They did not deserve the grace. They deserved the punishment, and God withheld the punishment. This indeed is mercy. God responded in mercy to their repentance. He did not give the Ninevites the judgment that they deserved. Now, as we make application to ourselves, our personal life, our life of our country, we think of what we deserve, and we pray and ask God for mercy. And it starts with repentance. Shall we pray? Our blessed God, we thank you for your word that speaks to us so powerfully. And in this little short book, you have so much to say to us about what goes on in our hearts and in our minds, and how we interact with you. And we can relate to Jonah and his failures, his shortcomings, his disobedience. And then you gave him a reproof. He repented. God, thank you for the mercy that you give us. The opportunity to turn things around, to repent. Father, I pray. As we would leave. That I may be in the mind of repentance for my sins, turn from my wicked ways, and may we all, Father, may we all purpose to take a deep look into ourselves, and when your word reproves us that we might follow the path you've given us, that we might be corrected and put back on the right path. Because your word says that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, and in instruction in righteousness, that we might be mature and fully prepared to do your will. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.